You're with Cape Talk. This is Pippa Hudson on Lunch.
Now, as we reflected last week, the recent spate of kidnappings and attempted child snatchings has parents in Cape Town and other parts of the country extremely concerned about their children's safety. One of the things we can do is have very frank conversations with our kids about why it is so important that they stick with the transport plans that you've made, that they not accept a change of plans without your explicit consent or even the use of a safe word that you've agreed upon. Of course, the issue of stranger danger is only one part of the problem. Your kids also need to know that it's okay to shout and scream and make a fuss and draw attention if somebody they do know is making them feel uncomfortable or trying to force them to go somewhere that they didn't think they were meant to go. Lots of good conversations are needed with our children. But if there is more to it that we can be doing, then why not explore that as well? Before we talk about the role of technology here, let me just remind you what Jessica Shelver of the Western Cape Education Department told me last week. Oh, let's welcome on the line Jessica Shelver, who is spokesperson for our Western Cape MEC for Education, Debbie Schaefer. Jessica, lovely to chat to you, albeit in very worrying circumstances. Can we just start with an update on how many actual confirmed incidents of abductions and attempted abductions have been reported here in the Western Cape?
Sure. Good afternoon, Papa. Since the 8th of August, which is when the first incident was reported, we have 13 incidents that have been reported. Three of the learners were abducted, sexually assaulted, and if you want to call it returned. One of the learners was abducted and found dead last Thursday. I'm sure everyone is aware of Privilege, who was found last Thursday. There was also a confirmed incident on Friday last week at Wingfield Primary School, two yesterday, one at Motterdam Secondary and one at Bridgefield Primary School. And then just over the last 2 days, we have received five unconfirmed reports of attempted abductions, and we are currently verifying those.
So that was the situation last Thursday, and I'm sure I'm not the only parent who got chills hearing those stats shared with us. This is not mere hysteria. There is a lot more going on here. So let's talk about what we can do to keep our children safe. I mentioned the concept of a safe word, and just to explain what that is for somebody who doesn't know, it's a word you've agreed upon that's completely unrelated to anything else. It can be a random phrase like Mickey Mouse has pink ears, or just a word, peaches or watermelon, that you've agreed with your child. If I need to change plans and I'm not able to communicate with you directly, you can trust a person who tells you that word. So in other words, there's an emergency, I can't come and fetch you, I'm rather going to send my work colleague who you've never met before. But if that person tells you Mickey Mouse has pink ears, you know it's safe to get into the car with them and that they're fetching you with my permission. That's kind of the idea of how it works. So that is something I think that all parents should be considering discussing with their child. Obviously making sure you know precisely how they're getting to school, how they're getting home from school, whether that is by public transport with a Lyft club, whether they're walking and hopefully able to walk in a group, catching a walking bus, riding a bicycle, etc., making sure that everybody is clear on who is going where and expected when, making sure that they know not to change those plans without your express permission, also a crucial part of the conversation. But what more could we do? And one answer is to look at technology. How can technology help us? I have Jan Vermeulen on the line with me, editor-at-large at My Broadband, to chat to us about whether there are apps or gadgets, wearable technology, etc., which could play a role here. Jan, thanks so much for chatting to me this morning and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. It's such a serious issue. I hope I do it justice.
I really hope so, Jan. I'm sure you will. Let's start with the wearable tech, shall we? I've got a couple of colleagues who've already, in the last week or two, put in orders for GPS tracking watches, etc., for their kids. What are some of the devices you'd like our listeners to know about?
So there's a lot, and a simple Google will bring back a whole list of brands and options, ranging from 400 Rand to well over 1,000 Rand, and different watches catering to different demographics. So the idea is, you know, to have a watch that might appeal more to a toddler, and the functionality might be more in line with what toddlers are capable of using and are capable of messing with. And so you've got everything from the Move Time, which launched in South Africa in January, and that's on sale that was on sale at least on contracts through mobile operators. You might still be able to pick that up through mobile operators that are still stocking the device. And so that's a fairly expensive device, the TCL Move Time. And these are like normal smartwatches. But the idea is to reduce the functionality and to make it really, really simple to function as a basic tracker and as a way to call the parent. If the child, you know, needs to be, you know, it can be something innocuous, like you've arranged to call for when the child needs to be picked up, or you can have it, have it for an emergency situation. So that's one example of a watch that's available. Then Polaroid has watches available in a variety of colors to make them attractive for kids. Then there are a few other brands in South Africa, like Safety Angel is another one. And it's really interesting to chat to some of the folks who bring in these other devices, that aren't perhaps international brands that we know of, like Polaroid and TCL. Who saw the need in the market, and literally what they did was they bought like military grade watches. They customized it to strip out some of the functionality, but they kept the hardening of it, the robustness. So these watches are rated. You can go swimming with them. You can shower with them. So they're a lot more robust than the average low cost phone. Which makes them quite suitable for this kind of application, because the part of the problem is that you don't necessarily want to give your phone your child a waterproof phone, which can cost upwards of 8,000 rands for that kind of device. But for these, with these kinds of smartwatches, you can pay as little as 500 rand and get something that's relatively robust. And you're still able to track them, because these watches have GPSs and stuff built in, so you can track your child that way.
Tracking is one part of it, as you mentioned, the ability to summon help when it's needed, simply and without too much sort of need for engaging with it. Technology is huge, particularly for younger children. Jan, you need to be able to say to the 5-year-old, you push that button if you need to call for help, which is easier said than done for a 5-year-old. And you know what they like? They're curious. They push buttons by default. So how do you get around that?
No, you don't. So you have to, if you're going to use something like this, some of these devices have sort of fail safes or things built in to make it that you have to take an extra step when you push that button. But already that's not something that you don't want. You want to make it as simple as possible to, as you say, summon help. So you don't want to go, are you sure? When the child has pushed the button, you just want the call to go through. So if you use something like this and you do want like an emergency SOS button or something configured on the device, you're going to have to make peace with a couple of false alarms. It's tricky because you're going to get yourself worked up when the SOS comes through. But that's unfortunately the trade-off. When you use technology like this, is there are going to be false positives, unfortunately.
I think everybody listening would agree, Jan, you'd rather deal with the hassle and even the expense of a false alarm than and know that when your child really does need it, the service is there and there immediately. Without question, that's how I would feel.
I think most parents would feel the same.
Okay, so we've spoken about making sure the device you choose is one which is appropriate in age for your child, that they're able to navigate. The robustness is important, that it's not something that's going to get broken very easily. If you've got a very sporty child, particularly, who's going to be, on the hockey field, in the rugby scrum, you want to know it will survive that. What about the coolness factor for teenagers, Jan? I've got one in the house. I know she won't wear anything I tell her to wear. You've got to come up with an option that they will be prepared to deign to wear in public. Are the sort of creators thinking of the teenage market at any point?
Yeah. And exactly, stopping short of like a fully fledged Apple Watch. There are a couple of options available. And then, giving the watch Wi-Fi connectivity, a camera built in, all kinds of things to try and make it a little bit more appealing for that market. But that is always a challenge, and it might be better in the case, especially for an older teenager, to just go for like a fully fledged connected smartwatch, something with a GPS built in, obviously like a fitness tracker smartwatch that we see on the market now, and just have that speaking to your normal built-in find my family and find my phone type applications. So it's all about your budget. So the great thing about these devices that are, you know, like I'm looking at the Safety Angel website right now,
yep.
and they specifically have a line of products designed for teenagers. What's great about this product is that they run cheaper than your average, fitness smartwatch, fitness-focused smartwatch. But I can understand that teenagers might bulk at wearing this giant bulky thing on their wrist all the time and feeling like their parent is breathing down their neck.
Yeah.
But that's where the conversation comes in. And there's only so much that these device manufacturers can do to make the devices attractive. It's really up to instilling an understanding in your child for why you're taking these steps and that you won't abuse it. For example.
Yeah, I think that's such an important comment that particularly for, I think, the teenagers who by nature struggle with limitations and don't like feeling watched all the time. You've got to make sure that they understand why you're asking them to wear that device, because it's not about wanting to spy on them or be policing them every day. It's for a genuine safety reason. Pamela asking on the WhatsApp, Jan, whether any of these watches come with sort of two-way calling that you can communicate back to the child if they've sent out that alert.
Yes, yes. And so there's a couple of different options. There's, straight up linking it to the smartphone. And then also having like a little cell phone built into the watch. Yes, that is available. It can shop around. The one problematic thing with that is that the parent's voice comes out over a speaker. I'm reminded of a scene from Harry Potter where the mother sends a letter.
The howler.
Where they've disobeyed. And then you've got this parent's voice that everybody can hear, and it's quite embarrassing. So that's the flip side of that. Yes, there are those options, but if you want to call the child, just to have a normal cell phone. You don't even have to go like a full smartphone if that's something that's against your parenting style. But if you do want an option to be able to communicate with the child, then a normal cell phone is worthwhile there. What these watches are designed to do is when you place the call, you can hear as the emergency contact what's happening on that side. So that gives you context. You can hear, where is my child? Are they in danger? How much danger are they in? And then, you can take appropriate steps based on that. That's really what those functions are designed for.
Okay, sure. It's a minefield, isn't it? Tebo is saying important to note that most GPS trackers require monthly fees. Yeah, Jan,
right.
According, obviously a lot will depend on what package you go for and what sort of device you invest in, but there are ongoing costs associated with some of the devices, yes?
Yes, yes. So 100%. These services are usually not free. So there are ways to have a more freely available option out there, it's sort of like the same kind of model as buying a tracker for your car. To continue to use the service, you have to pay a monthly subscription fee often. So that's something to watch out for, and it's a very good comment on the WhatsApp line. Alternatives to that is to use the built-in features of iOS and Android. So if your child does have a phone, all of these devices have the same kind of pitfall, right? And that's if the device gets left behind or taken off. If the criminal is savvy, for example, then the tracking ends.
Yeah.
The short of implanting a chip under their skin, there's unfortunately no real way around that. So a smartphone can actually serve this purpose quite nicely. To get like a freely available tracking option available, especially on Android, it's possible to share your location in Google Maps with certain trusted individuals, and you can share that location on a limited time basis or on a permanent basis. So you can go, I want this person to see my location for the next 8 hours, if your teenager, for example, is going out to a party.
Uh-huh.
And that's booked right into Android. That's booked right into Google Maps. You don't need a special device to use that feature. So you don't have to go out and buy a device right now to have that functionality right now. But obviously the smartwatches give you that extra layer. They're IP67 or 68 rated. They're on your wrist the whole time. There's no danger of it falling out of your pocket or being stolen, and so on.
Yeah. Gosh, okay, so that's so good to know that that option is already there within Google Maps. Thanks for tipping us off there. We must also consider in all of this that frequent GPS updates often come at the expense of battery life, so you need to make sure your kids are aware of keeping the devices charged if you're relying on that. Jan, the one thing we haven't touched on too deeply is the issue of apps that you can utilize. I know I've seen comments on Facebook about an app called Life 360, which a lot of parents are using to help monitor where their kids are. I don't know if you're familiar with that one at all.
Yes, there are a couple of good options, and so that's a good one. And there's and a lot of them also have subscription fees. So that's something to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. And on iPhone, there's Family Tracker and Find My Kids. And then an option for the more technically inclined is an app that I've actually used on Android called Cerberus, which is it's actually a bit of a spyware. It's a bit of spyware. So I mean, you know, just be careful there. And also, you know, your kid might not be comfortable with this on their phone. But the great thing about Cerberus is if you can get like what they call root access on your Android phone, you can install Cerberus in such a way that even if the phone is factory reset, even if it's wiped, Cerberus remains on the phone.
Wow.
A lot of these other apps don't offer that option. And especially on iPhones that are quite sticky about, you know, jailbreaking and that sort of thing. When you wipe the phone, the app goes. Mm. And Cerberus, if you've got a somewhat savvy criminal and they decide, cool, you know, here's the phone, I'm going to wipe it, but keep it. And they leave the phone on. Cerberus will still boot up and run on that phone, and you're still able to track it. But Cerberus is one of those apps as well that requires a monthly subscription, or it requires a subscription fee. But it's incredibly powerful. But from there, it doesn't just do tracking; it lets you read text messages that come to the phone and all kinds of nasty spyware stuff. So it's meant to be able to track your own phone is really what it was designed for. But certainly you can use it to track your family's phone. And once again, like a level of trust will come into play there to assure your family that you're not going to use it to spy on their activities.
Is that spelled Cerberus like the dog in Greek mythology with a C-E-R-B-E-R-U-S?
Yes.
Okay.
Cerberus, and it is CerberusApp.com.
CerberusApp.com. Thank you so much for that tip. Okay, the great question here from Esme in Somerset West, who's wondering whether there are also options available for elderly people. She said, I'd love for my mom to be able to wear a watch that I can send a text message. Sorry, that can send a text message to me should she fall in the bathroom at night. She's not going to take her phone with her to the bathroom, or it might fall out of her hand. There are indeed options, aren't there?
Indeed, and so this is actually functionality that Apple has started building into its Apple Watch, though that's a very expensive option. But yes, these same guys that were doing the teenage watches, Safety Angel, mm-hmm. also have an option for elderly people. So like a fitness tracker, it seems to have a heart rate monitor and so on built in. It can automatically alert you, if something's happened to your parent or so on. Once again, if falling is something that you particularly are worried about, then something to look for is a watch that can activate based on feedback from the accelerometer when that happens. But that, I mean, there's also a danger of a false positive there. This particular watch actually does have a fall down sensor, it actually does detect that. So yeah, there are options for that, and just to keep in mind that the exact same pitfalls as for the children's watches exist is they've got two-way phone calling and all that stuff built in for you to be able to figure out if something has really gone wrong. And then to send, the appropriate response, whether that's an ambulance or whether that's you driving out there yourself to make sure that your parent is okay.
Jan, I hate that we have to have this conversation, but you've given us so much valuable input. I really must say a huge thank you for the research you put in, and really appreciate your feedback today.
It's a big pleasure, and hopefully everybody finds something useful out of it today.
I hope so. Jan Vermeulen, editor at large for My Broadband.